Well, Rimmer, welcome.
Yes, it's great to be here. Thank you.
To the studios of 3CR. Do you want to tell our listeners a bit of who you are, what you do, and what it means for you to come to the other side of the world and meet people that are organizing in similar ways?
Yeah, well, my name's Rimmer. I'm a member of the Independent Workers of Great Britain. I've been with them for 4 years. I'm an organizer for drivers. And our union basically organize and represent and try to activate gig economy workers such as cleaners, security guards, yoga teachers, cycling instructors, couriers. We have quite a few branches. We're a very active union. We believe in bottom-up type organization and activating workers to improve their working conditions, but also to change society. I'm also, I would call a revolutionary Pan-Africanist. So that's where I cut my teeth on understanding the world and having a certain view of the world that puts people before profit. And also that as a person of African descent, I understand that my dignity is wrapped around the unification of the African continent under a just social and economic system for Africans of home and abroad. So that quite easily fits into the work I'm doing at the moment in the union. And because I have the same philosophies and principles and understand the same objectives. So I have a dual kind of purpose.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what's been interesting as we talked. It's just like how many of the conditions that you guys are organizing against are very similar conditions that exist here for workers to organize against as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting, as you said, that the same conditions that are happening in the UK are happening here. We have a Labour government, for instance, which is going more to the right. We have a massive movement for supporting the Palestinian struggle and the genocide to stop the genocide in Gaza. We have an upsurge of racist and far-right support. And the unions and those who are progressive and want advocate for freedom and democracy and justice, we need to come together and start to organize and build. So, I can see the similarities of what you're going through here and what's happening in the UK are totally the same, although there might be different nuances. The issues of racism are becoming worse. Various communities are being attacked, physically attacked. We had a situation a year or two ago where, they tried to burn down hotels where immigrants were being held. And these immigrants are coming from places like Iraq, from Syria, from Palestine, from West Africa, where imperialism or the system that controls the world and tries to in various brutal ways to control people. They're escaping wars and total devastation. So, it's the same situation.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because we also had refugees staying in hotels here in indefinite detention centers in the center of the city.
Yeah.
Hotels that would be otherwise viewed as luxurious views of the city were turned into no-go-out zones for illegally detained migrants that were not on a visa.
Yeah.
The work that your union does is crucial in organizing some of the most vulnerable workers in our society. What have been some of the strategies that you have seen succeed in the workplaces that you've organized?
Yeah, well, I can definitely talk from the private hire driver situation. I'm an organizer for drivers, and we have this saying, driving alone, fighting together, no one left behind. As you know, when you're driving, you're alone. So we don't have a specific, as an organizer for driver, we don't have a specific place or a work area where we can all congregate. Drivers are usually, they drive by themselves, but they do congregate in car parks, mosques, cafes, and as the same is here, most of the drivers, I would say 98-99% are either non-white or immigrant workers. So they have their own communities, their own WhatsApp groups. So we understand that the only way to build power and to build capacity is to engage, and to engage to build trust, to build confidence, and to build trust. And that's very important. So that's our strategy, is to create that situation, and also to do actions which are relevant to the workers. We had a number of actions this year that's really increased our membership and also our activity of drivers getting involved. And we're now building a group of drivers that we're expanding all the time that want to go out there and be active. So we're continuing that strategy of engagement, activity, and then organising people and politically educating them to understand the steps and the process of actually building capacity and power.
Well, it's like we were saying before in the drive over here, was that actually you can't stop people from organising. And so the best work that we can all do as community organisations, as community radios, or as unions, is to give people the means to organise themselves and provide for them the structures into which they will succeed.
Absolutely. I mean, we want to, our philosophy is basically to obviously recruit into the union, but also to give people the tools and the confidence to organise themselves and to build relationships with communities and groups. Because I believe that the only way that we're going to move forward is when we collaborate with each other, we create united fronts, and we collaborate on things that we have in common. And there are so many things that the things that we have in common far outweigh the things that divide us. All communities are going through the same thing, maybe from different perspectives, but they are all very similar, and we need to find ways that we can work together.
Exactly right. And as we address previously, like the way the world is going, as the contradictions sharpen and we continue to exist under worsening neoliberal capitalist conditions, the need for community to be organized is only going to increase as the pressures of daily life, I mean, even the fact that we have accepted a term called cost of living is egregious enough to want to organize out of a system, out of that. And I think that's part of what brings us together today, is the need for internationalism, need to broaden this struggle in proportion to the global financial interests that control our daily lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been absolutely blown away with meeting you and meeting other organizers, and it's just so easy to engage and interact and to, you know, push forward that whole aspect of solidarity and international solidarity. I'm here on holiday for a family sort of situation, for a wedding, but I thought it was important for me to take the time out to really link up with various people, various organizations, to understand what you're doing, to also, you know, share what we're doing in the UK, and to see how we can support each other and learn from each other, because I think that's very important. So, and part of one of our strategies was, or one of our activities, we actually were able to link up with drivers or unions in Nigeria, in Uruguay, and the United States to do a log-off. And we want to expand that. Maybe we'll have Australia in there as well. But not only just drivers, but as unions and as groups that are trying to improve people's working lives and to change society.
It's of no greater importance now that there's a drive to war, that workers really be united. I mean, in the UK especially, the impacts of what an eventual war in Europe could look like would be borne by the brunt of the workers more than any of the ruling class.
Absolutely. We can see it's very scary what's happening in Ukraine and Russia right now. And the rise of the right all over Europe. We know that all the wars have always come because of there's been a crisis in capitalism. And then there's been a rearrangement of a fight around the spoils of the First and Second World Wars, around the colonial situation. But that has changed now. Although the colonies have got their so-called independence, they're still not independent. And workers obviously are also, not only are they being exploited, but they're being pulled into this whole racist kind of narrative, blaming immigrants for basically what the ruling class are doing to their own lives. Immigrants have no power to do these things. So we need to find ways of joining immigrants with the indigenous working classes in Europe, and also to educate everybody that our enemy are the ruling class.
And that's interesting that part of your the union organizing strategy that you guys do is really provide a political understanding of the conditions that create precarity and create casualization in the workforce and are actually the end cause of what all the effects that these workers feel on their daily life, struggle to work. And how important is that as a strategy in your arsenal of tools?
It's actually key because there's a without an understanding of who your oppressor is and why you can't afford to, you know, you're working like on a subsistence level, or why you can't afford your rent, or why you can't afford to send your, or they're not decent schools to send your children, et cetera, why it's so expensive to feed your family, you know, the list goes on. You sometimes blame, you can quite easily blame other people who are just poor like you, or you're blaming, even in our case, sometimes they blame the union. Oh, why can't you do something about this? And so political education is important to understand not only different communities and what they're going through, but also the source of the oppression, the source of the austerity, and not just the source in regards to current situation, but going back, you know, decades, even centuries. We have at least one or two union-wide, what we called political economy education sort of seminars, where we come together and we actually learn from each other, but have a presentation about how the ruling class rule and get, you know, allow and encourage drivers or workers to sort of make their own input. So it's very, very important, because unless we understand the world, we won't know how to change it and we won't know who the enemy is.
And there's also combating the feeling that people need to know everything all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas providing someone the resource to learn and encouraging them to learn it,
yeah,
gives them really that opportunity to learn something for themselves,
exactly,
rather than being told it by a right-wing shock jockey,
exactly,
radio host.
Yeah, I mean, we're always encouraging people to, we might present the information, but we always encourage people to say, do your own research. You know, don't take our word for it. Make sure that you corroborate this with your own research. Because it's one thing being told something, it's another thing understanding it, it's internal. So that's very important.
And you said you joined the union, or you became a union organizer 4 years ago. What,
yeah,
was your sort of, briefly, maybe your journey into coming into this role and finding yourself on the other side of the world in a community radio station talking about it?
Well, I've always, as I said before, I was in an organization that advocated for revolutionary Pan-Africanism. So I understood that being organized, Kwame Nkrumah, the first president of Ghana, said organization determines everything. So I understand unless we're organized, nothing will change. So every job I've had, I've always joined a union out of principle. Some unions have been, I would say, like a cooperative union that weren't active as such and just took what the bosses said. Other unions were a little bit more active. Luckily, when I became a driver, because I was made redundant and I just took up driving just in case, well, that in case came to be. So I joined the IWGB. I'm not sure exactly how that happened, but I had a leaflet. I said, right, they look good. I'm going to join them. And the rest is history. I became active. I became a vice chair. A job came up in the union. I went for the job, and because of my activity, you know, I got the job, and I have been doing that for the last 4 years. And the last year has been really transformational. We've really started to recruit. We've started to, as I said, get a core of active drivers, and we're going to increase that recruitment and going to increase the number of active drivers.
I mean, it's so inspiring to hear you your story, but also to hear you have done all the things that you've done in your life. I mean, just maybe as a final word to any aspiring people that want to organize, any young organizers or any young workers that are stuck under bureaucratic work structures, to just go out there and do it, what would you tell them?
I would say join a trade union, because a trade union is the best democratic type of formation that is available right now. Even if that trade union is maybe not be as active as it should be. As a young person who, young people usually have a lot of energy, have a lot of conviction. We want to change the world. Well, you can't do it by yourself. You need to be organized and you need to work with other people. And you need to encourage, if not force, the leadership of some of these unions that might not be as active as they should be to be active and to do the correct thing. And also that, we need to have formations that are people-centered and help people and are a bottom-up type of structure, not a top-down. Because unless there's real democracy, and that democracy is doing everything it can to improve the working conditions for ordinary people, nothing will change.
Rema, thank you very much for taking the time to do the interview with us.
Thank you so much. Can I just say one more thing?
Absolutely.
I was incorrect in not actually giving my support to the First Nation people. I should have said that at the beginning, and I apologize. This land belongs to the First Nation people, and we must do everything as workers to support their struggle for equality, for freedom, and for their land.